To begin.
Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Primate Podcast. We got the one and only Gabriel Enamorado. What's up, man?
What's up, my dude? How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for making it out here. We were just briefly talking before the show. You know, I've been kind of known about State Gallery for quite a few years now. I want to say maybe in the last, me personally, maybe 3-4 years. And that's when I first came across the information. And since then, you know, I just see the work that you've been putting in around the city of Downey, as well as being a photographer and a creative arts advocate. Tell me a little bit about yourself, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, first of all. I appreciate you just having me on your show. Excited to be here. Where do I begin? You know, there's so much.
For sure, I want to get to know about your background. Like, what made you focus on? I know you've been doing photography and graphic design. Yes. You know, like, what was the initial idea behind that?
You know, ultimately, I've always been an artist. I've always been a creative. Since I was a kid, I don't have any other memory beyond just, you know, naturally kind of falling into my art, not necessarily playing sports or doing group activities or anything like that. I always kind of just resorted to my art as my safe space. As a kid, I drew a lot of Dragon Ball Z. That was kind of the first thing that I really got in love with. You know, I had a black book just full of every character, and I was very organized and meticulous about it. Heading into middle school, that just kind of kept evolving. And I remember my first year in high school, I was introduced to graffiti. Nice. This was 2005 or so, was blowing up in LA, and I was just taken by it. You know, there was a ton of people in my high school who were you know, just into it and just fully in the scene, and I was just pulled completely by it. And graffiti was really kind of like a catalyst, I think, for my life and my career. I met a lot of artists through that. And I think most significantly, I got to know Crew West Gallery. And initially, I believe it was Alhambra or El Monte. I think it was Alhambra where they were at. And then they moved to downtown LA. Crew West Gallery, if you're not familiar, was LA's first graffiti art gallery. Ran by Man One. He's a very active artist still till this day, but he had his art gallery over in downtown. And I remember being in high school, and I would make any excuse to just get out there and be in that space. Man One, you know, he, for the most part, during the times that I would go, he was there occasionally, but you know, I'd be around his staff, and I would just, hey, can I sweep the floors? Be here? Can I just help? It was the
just
first
to be involved.
To be involved. You know, I had never been in a gallery before. I had never been in a space with white walls that were tall, and just the ampleness of it. It just, something about it spoke to me. And I spent a lot of time in there, and I met a lot of really significant graffiti artists, because they were, you know, it was the only space showcasing graffiti artists. There was one point where I Am Legend, they were having like a special event there where they invited artists to paint on canvases, and there was like some awards given. Man One, because I was there all the time, was like, hey man, you want a canvas, and you know, do you want to participate? And I was like, sure. And you know, it was like all these like master painters and me.
And me,
yeah. As like a 16-year-old, you know, doing this little canvas. I still have photos of
that. 16 years.
I was young. I was like 16, 17 years old. And you know, since middle school, just walking around with a camera always on me, my little black book. And so, yeah, you know, that's really awesome. where it started for me. You know, coming back to high school, I attended Warren in Downey High. I attended Warren in the city of Downey. And they would have an annual art exhibition in the cafeteria. Of course, I took every art class and photo class that I could, every industrial class that I could, woodworking and all of that. And at the end of the year, they would organize a student exhibition. And by, I want to say my junior year, I got really involved with it. I started to just ask my teachers, like, can you guys let me out? I want to just curate and be involved with this, with these shows. It's really fun. I want to put the art up on the walls. And it definitely was another touch point for me where, you know, it was like a really proud moment. Like, wow, like I got out of class one, two, I was able to put up all these artworks and kind of design the layout of it. And was really proud of that. And I have a photo, I kid you not, I have a photo of a bunch of my pieces on these little fabric, you know, mobile walls, and a bunch of kids coming to see my work, because I was kind of like the artist of my high school. And, you know, I was just really involved. I was really involved. I although I never joined a club or anything like that in high school, I was always with ASB because they wanted me to paint some sign in the field or the stage or something. So just since then, just always heavily involved.
From the sounds of it, you fully delved into just the creative world, right? Like you said, you're just an arts advocate, so anything that encompasses that,
totally.
You've just been open to the experience.
Totally.
You know, and that's awesome, man, because in these communities, it's not something that's necessarily like promoted. Like,
correct.
Hey, go to school, be an artist, you know, or whatever you want to do creative. It's more like, hey, you got to get your work, you got to do your work, you got to do this. So knowing that you went like basically against those odds and chose to pursue that, it's just, you know, it just shows the initiative and the passion that you had for creating.
Yeah, I mean, that was exactly it. And I got to give props to my mom because she definitely allowed for that.
Yeah.
You know, she saw my passion for it. Never, as a kid, never questioned me or like, mm-hmm. she always encouraged me to kind of keep doing it. And so that I think was really helpful. She always allowed me to express myself and to... obviously, I was raised by my mom primarily, mm-hmm. and so I think that was huge. You know, she definitely had a lot of impact on that, and she always talked about how she was an artist as a kid.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. No, that's cool because I have a son. My son right now is 11, and he's an artist. He knows how to draw pretty good. I'm an artist, but not like, you know, professionally or anything. But knowing that he's doing it, it makes me want to push that skill set because I know the value of it now as an adult. You know, and the fact that your mom is one of those cases where they saw the value in what you wanted to do and, you know, and pursue it. They were there to enable you to pursue that instead of the contrary, which either way, people's situations varies, obviously. But at the end of the day, it's that drive that you have in yourself to go through it.
You know, and something we believe through STAY is like, you know, encourage kids to make mm-hmm. art, but it doesn't mean that they have to become like full-time painters or, you know, that's not like the career. We believe that art is really just a tool to, teach us and allow us to express ourselves. So, you know, we have a lot of kids that come to our programs and they make art, they love making art, but it's not necessarily what they're going to do for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
But it is a form of, you know, just like an exercise. It's like a practice that you just develop, even though you can pursue a totally different career. Expression is
an expression. Yeah, no, and that's a perfect way to put it, the expression, because there's times like I went to Michael's a few days ago with my partner. We're just looking around for stuff that she's going to decorate. And I saw a canvas and some, you know, some, what are they called? Brushes.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There was something like, I was like, I don't even know how to paint, but I had that itch like to maybe I should just
totally,
even if it's not a professional thing, you know, just get it out of the system. And, you know, it's like those things, even with exercise, sometimes your body's just so pent up with energy that it just needs you to like, you know, exercise it and go out and get some, you know, life in you.
Exactly.
And once you get it, even if you don't pursue it, you still feel great. Like you felt like you took care of that, you know?
Definitely follow that itch, man.
Yeah.
Definitely follow it.
those are the good itches.
Yeah. You know, even myself, I haven't necessarily painted anything in quite a while actually, but I can totally relate to that feeling. And so I do have canvases that are just there and I'm like, and I do go for it. You know, my partner and I, we've allowed ourselves that time. Like, let's just do it. Let's just get the paint out and just, let's see what happens.
Let's just see what happens, where it goes.
And it's almost like going to the gym. You'll never regret it.
No, it's exactly.
You'll never regret it.
Yeah, you're going to walk out of there regardless of what you did. You're just going to feel, it's going to feel good. Because you're creating, you know, there's nothing more, I think, fulfilling than creating, right? Like people can think of creating in the terms of like reproducing, like having kids, right?
Right.
But you can also create like other stuff from the abyss, you know?
Right. I mean, it's the gift we've been given, man, as humans, you know? That is it right there. It is what we are here to do.
Yeah. And I know that's one of the, you briefly mentioned right now, that's one of the goals at State Gallery, and that's located in Downey. I told you just before the show as well that I've been knowing of State Gallery for a couple of years, but I was never, for whatever reason, inclined to go and visit, right? I was just like, oh, it's just a gallery.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But after the event that I went to on Friday last week, I think it was a Local 5 show. Is that what it's?
It's called The Local Group Show.
The Local Group
Number Show. Number 5.
Number 5.
Yeah.
I went because, you know, I saw the roster of the artists that were being displayed. And I think there was like 5-6 people that I noticed there. And I was like, you know what? I think it's time for me to make my way down to STAY.
Yeah.
Dude, I walk in there and just seeing the art, like the people who are being represented, the stories, like the trauma is like anything, you know, like just what encompasses the community struggle there, right? Or their lives and their own experiences.
Right.
I was taken aback, man. Like I just said that right now and I got a little goosebumps, you know, like just seeing dude, it was a beautiful thing that I saw. And honestly, that's when I was like, dude, why haven't I been here? And I felt guilty. I felt bad that I was not here before supporting, you know? But sometimes that's how life is, you know?
That's how it goes.
You can't live by things that you didn't do. You have to be like, oh shit, well, let me be open to this new experience. And now let me keep supporting. Let me totally. Keep doing it, you know?
Totally. Well, we appreciate you being there. And I do want to state that was actually the closing reception. So it mm-hmm. was the last chance to see the exhibition before it came down. The opening, you weren't even able to walk through that place.
Damn.
I mean, it's nice. Yeah, the openings for our group exhibitions are always just super, super full of families and young people. Mm-hmm. Incredible experience.
So tell me a little bit about the history of STAY. Like, how have you become involved in it?
Yeah, so, man, I just saw like an entire... So, you know, STAY began, I would say, unofficially in 2010. Mm-hmm. By 2000, you know, I graduated high school in 2007. I went to Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising, or FIDM, as people may know, for about a year and a half. I studied digital media there. I went for a year. I dropped out. Program was cool. Wasn't really for me. Never went back to school after that. And basically, 2008, 2009, I started freelancing full time. And I was doing, graphic design, photography. I was painting, you know, people's names on their walls for income. I was doing all kinds of things. I had been doing photo booths at like warehouse parties in like South Central, just like doing all kinds of stuff, flyers. I want to say that, let me see, 2007 or so. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, it was 2007. Apologies. 2007, I had organized an exhibition with my art and two other friends of mine, Mari Rindu and Yasser Abdo. And the three of us had organized this exhibition at a place called Epic Lounge, which is right around the corner from where the gallery is today. Mm-hmm. I had gotten some live performers who were local to come, you know, and perform. And we had DJs, just like a little art show in a little warehouse using RGB lights to light up the art. That was kind of my first exhibition that I had organized outside of high school. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to 2010, I meet Valentin Flores, who is the person that I started the gallery with. Him and I both grew up in Downey. He went to Downey High. I went to Warren. He was about 6 or 7 years older than me, and happens to be that he had studied photography in college. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, like a street photographer, I suppose, at the time. And we just both had this energy that we were just like, let's do things. Nice. I remember the first day we met, we were like, dude, let's have a show with our photography. He's like, and I was like, yeah, let's do it. He's like, you know, I may have access to the Downey Theater. Mm-hmm. If you're not familiar, the Downey Theater is a 700 seat theater off of Firestone Boulevard in Downey that, you know, at the time wasn't used very much. Mm-hmm. The lobby of the theater is a two-story lobby, has two staircases, goes around, and it was meant to be used as a gallery. As far as I know, it had never been used since its opening in like 1965. Fast forward, we somehow managed to have the theater allow us to use the lobby of it for free, no charge.
Wow.
Yeah. We organized this exhibition in, I want to say, between November and February, which mm-hmm. February 4, 2010, we had the opening reception. And when you walked into the theater, it was all my photography on this half, his photography on that half, and then the whole upstairs, it was like just split, basically. Mm-hmm. We called the show Ambivalence. It was the idea that, you know, we were both very opposite. His work was very daytime, just bright, traveling around the world. Mine was like very dark, murky, based in LA. And so it was a really cool exhibition. That opening reception brought in about 800 people to the opening. It was such a big deal. This is 2010. It was such a big deal in the city that an art show was happening in Downey. Mm-hmm. It was just like this excitement just hit a lot of people. It was kind of the beginning of Facebook, the end of MySpace. I had been marketing on both. And we had a lot of people come out. We had like some people sponsor and whatnot. And that was really the beginning of STAY.
Mm-hmm.
We had gone by the name Downey Art Vibe. At that time, it wasn't an official organization or anything. It was just, we had made a little logo and that was the name of the thing that we did. And the city took notice of the event that we put together, and city staff started to reach out to us like, yo, that was really cool. How do we get more of that?
Mm-hmm.
it coincided with the city's plan to want to reawaken Downey Avenue. You know, they had plans to kind of bring that street back up. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in Downey since 96. I had moved from the city of Bell. I don't have a single memory of going to Downey Avenue ever. I mean, it was just kind of a street that was like an afterthought at the time. And, you know, it was a downtown in like the 50s, 60s and had its moment and it kind of died off. And, you know, early 2000s, a lot of cities started to kind of reinvest in their downtowns, which is how now you have like an uptown Whittier, you have, you know, like a downtown Long Beach, et cetera. So Downey was making its own effort for that. And one way that some city staff saw to do that was to invite the local arts group to come and, you know, activate a space. So the city essentially, you know, they started to bring us into city events, one, and they would contract us to do outdoor exhibitions at like city events. And that conversation, that relationship just kept evolving. And it got to the point that they invited us to a space that the city had leased, which is the gallery today. The city had leased the building and then invited us to come in and program and manage the space. Really just kind of mind-blowing, you know, to think about, especially looking back. There was, I still can't find like a similar example of that, of a city leasing space and then inviting, you know.
Yeah, of course. Usually it comes with like its own thing, you know, like its own weight, but.
But, you know, the agreement was the city would pay, you know, the lease and we would come in and do the programming and build out the space and do everything else. And so that's how we started. You know, we got the keys given to the space. We had no funding. We had no, I mean, really anything beyond ourselves, our hands, and some ideas in our head. The city council voted on the funding. It got approved in May of 2012. And we just went straight to work. We got all of our friends together, started to build the space, started to like tear down walls and whatnot. And it honestly, it took us about a year and a half to build out the gallery alone. We were doing like little events here and there, but for the most part, we were under construction for a year and a half.
Oh, damn. Yeah, just putting everything together. I mean, it looks professional,
And, you know, it was an incredible, like, community effort, man. We had a lot of companies come in and donate like the floors. I don't know if you noticed how smooth and polished the concrete floor that was donated. The loft that you see, the bar, that was all donated by local philanthropists, donors, community members, just like donating time, labor, and money to build that space.
You know, that speaks volumes because that shows that there was a need for this.
Absolutely. I mean, there always will be. You know? That's, of course, I'm a little biased when it comes to that, but that's how it happened. And, you know, we... From 2014 and on, I mean, we just have done so much. I mean, we've evolved and changed. The organization has gone through a lot of changes. We've done a ton of partnerships with the local school district. We've done hundreds of exhibitions. We've had Shepard Ferry. He's shown his work in there once or twice. I've had some,
at the gallery.
At the gallery, we've had some pretty big names throughout the years. Have organized incredible shows. And, you know, this is a time when there was, like, literally no spaces in the region.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I can't really think. I mean, I know there was, well, like, East LA, there was self-help graphics. Similar. And I know that's kind of similar to what you guys are doing, providing workshops.
Yeah, and you know what? I kid you not, I barely learned about self-help, like, 3 or 4 years ago.
Crazy.
I had no idea. I mean, I think growing up in Downey, a lot of us, you know, we're... I'd say the majority of Latinos in Downey really come from Cela. You know, we all come from Bell, Southgate, Commerce, Bell Gardens. We all just moved there. But being in Downey, you're kind of in a bubble too, and kind of closed off to a lot of what's outside. And so that was kind of our experience, you know, and we were just building this place based on the need we saw within our community and our direct kind of surroundings.
Yeah, and I love when that happens because, you know, there's somebody out there like you guys who were looking and we're like, you know what, we need some representation in this, you know. I was reading an article that I may be incorrect, but I think the overall U.S. population of Latino, Latinas in the U.S. is like 20%, but only like 2.8% is represented in the arts. And I was like, what?
Yeah,
like that's crazy. And in a lot of the things is in these neighborhoods, you know, we're underfunded for the most part. You know, in a specific time frame in my high school, I'm from class of 08. In my high school years or middle school years, there was like these cuts to programming that, you know, for the arts and music and all this stuff. but yet somehow the creatives found a way to prevail.
Totally. You know?
We got people in our audience who are still creating and found Absolutely. A way outside of the obstacles that we had in place.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, man. So with Stay, I know some of the stuff that you guys do is workshops for the families, yeah. for the public. I know there's like some sort of like a relationship with the schools where you guys get yes. students to present their work too, right?
Yeah. So, you know, just kind of to finish off that first mm-hmm. chapter of Stay, what even though we were doing a ton of work in the community, the challenging and, you know, the part that we kind of never figured out at that time was how do we make this sustainable, you know, to where you can support people's lives. Yeah. And we never got to that point of being able to have salaries or mm-hmm. you know, a paycheck for that matter. I mean, there was a point, but it wasn't technically through the gallery. We actually created an independent design studio. Mm-hmm. We called it Stay Studio at the time. It was a totally separate company yeah. from the nonprofit. And we started to essentially offer our services in graphic design, of my services in mm-hmm. graphic design and photography. You know, being in Downey, one thing that was really recognized was our marketing design for all of our programs. Yeah. The city of Downey, Downey Unified School District, the local newspaper, the Downey Patriot, all of those organizations came to us to rebrand them.
Oh,
and so yes. you look at all yeah. of those logos from those organizations, and I've had the opportunity to design all of those logos, and so yeah. it's amazing to just be in that city and just see my work everywhere I go.
Yeah, you know, I recently found out that you did the work on the logos for Downey and a couple of other stuff that you sent right now, and I was like, dude, that's crazy. I remember when this rebranding happened. This was in the last, what, like
2014.
Yeah, yeah. I remember like yeah. the old logo, and next thing you know, you start seeing the orange thing.
Yes.
Like, oh shit, Downey's upgrading. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing experience, yeah. you know, to be able to work with institutions. I was 24, 25 years old at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a really good support team, but just incredible experience. However, you know, my time was split between, you know, managing these massive contracts
yeah.
and then still having to program the gallery. Oh, fuck. And, yeah. you know, it got to a point in 2016 that it was just too much, mm-hmm. too much on the plate. And I wanted out for some reason. I wanted to move on. I wanted something new. And I actually left the organization. I left Stay completely. And, you know, at that point, we also had teams. We had staff under us that were kind of managing the programs through the gallery and mm-hmm. managing all the design contracts we had through the studio. But I left. I, at that point, had been living in... I had moved to Long Beach in 2015. And I... In 2016, when I left Stay, I just decided I want to be fully independent. I want to run my own studio.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to pay
like
you know, my bills.
Design studio?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I just went for it. I mean, yeah. I was already, I had an apartment in downtown. I had, you know, all my things, but no plan necessarily for how I was going to pay for my, you know, yeah. for my livelihood.
You just know you wanted it.
Yeah. I just knew I wanted it. And this kind of itch to just be independent and do my own thing.
Yeah.
Somehow I managed to do it. You know, over a span of 3-4 years, I built Estevan Studio, which is my private studio, essentially doing the mm-hmm. same work, right? I do photography, graphic design, web development, and I've worked in tons of industries. You know, with my photo work, I've done a lot of wedding photography, portraits. Today, I do a lot of political campaigns with my mm-hmm. photo work. Through my graphic design, I've worked on a lot of restaurants. I've worked in healthcare. I've worked in a ton of different industries. Today I work with a lot of nonprofits and advocacy groups doing, you know, stuff for SEIU and yeah. Groups like that. And so it's really inspiring and honestly such a incredible way to learn about different industries. I, you know, get all of the information mm-hmm. and all of their language, and I learn about so many things that they do through just the fact that I'm doing design for these
yeah.
institutions.
I mean, it sounds like they have the right person at Stay right now, you know, the person with the knowledge.
Yeah, you know, it's just been a pretty unique experience. And then in 2019, mm-hmm. I had started to inquire about the gallery, you know, kind of what's going on there. Mm-hmm. What had happened was that I met my partner, Juliana. Her and I started dating in 2017 in Long Beach. And in meeting her, I started to tell her my life story, naturally. Yeah. I had put Stay so far behind in my mind that I just had no reason to talk about it until I met her.
Yeah.
Started to share my story about, you know, this work that I had done through this space. And in those conversations was like, huh, I wonder what's going on with Stay. And, you know, I go on the Instagram and there's not much activity going on. I started to inquire with the board, like, hey, how can I help? How can I get involved? I know the most recent agreement is going to end in 2020. How can I help?
Mm-hmm.
The chairman of the board finds out that I reached out, and you know, he was also my client at the time. He owns a few restaurants throughout the area, and he's like, Gabe, come meet me at my restaurant. I want to talk to you about Stay for a little bit. And you know, I go, and within 20 minutes he's like, do you want to come back as executive director? And it was just like such a shock, like, what? Like, yeah. there's no way I would ever come back. No, are you kidding me? But of course, you know, I spoke to my partner Julianne at the time, and my mom, and they were both just super supportive. And mm-hmm. you know, what do you have to lose? And so February 2019, came back to Stay as ED. I brought Julianne with me. I told her, if I'm doing this, you're doing it with me. She was she had her own job at the time, and mm-hmm. We just took on the gallery and essentially just completely from scratch everything.
The whole idea,
and even the space. You know, we gutted the space, cleaned out the space over a month, and mm-hmm. started to reestablish like the website, the emails, getting answering things that have been left unanswered, and just cleaning house.
Yeah.
2019, we had done a lot of exhibitions for students. We brought all of it back. We had an exhibition for Eduardo Villamontes, if you're familiar with. He's an incredible artist from Santa Fe Springs who was the lead graphic designer for the Hundreds. Amazing artist. Yeah. Uh-huh. Good friend of mine, and you know, it was kind of like the culminating exhibition of 2019. We had his solo show, and I remember like in March or April of that year, I called him. I'm like, Eddie, we're having your solo show, man. Like, we have to do it. And he was like, yeah, I'm down. And so that's how we planned it.
Hell
so,
yeah!
So that's how, you know, we came back in 2019. So that's probably why you became familiar with Stay.
With Stay, yeah, exactly.
We just kind of, you know, rebranded it and brought it back to life, essentially.
Yeah, that definitely meets that time frame when they started getting the attention.
Yeah.
Now, like, what do you think has been the hardest obstacle? And
ooh.
I mean, because you got to drive people to come, right? I
yeah.
mean, you got to build that connection.
Yeah, you know, I would say the audience has always been there. Mm-hmm. The audience has never been our challenge. It's been more just like finding out how to make this the thing sustainable.
Yeah.
Coming into 2020, we're excited. We're like, we have a plan. You know, we have this new approach with the city. At this point, the city had still been funding the lease. Mm-hmm. There was some feelings about that not wanting to be the case. And, you know, we come in with some plans like, hey, what if, you know, the city stops funding the lease and we instead offer our programs? You know, we can guarantee, you know, 4, 5, 6 exhibitions a year, you know, mm-hmm. classes that are affordable for families. And we just begin those conversations in 2020. And of course, the pandemic hits. So all of that's put on pause.
Yeah.
The city did fortunately, you know, extend our funding through 2023 for the space, although partially. And so we had to, you know, start applying for grants and doing, you know, virtual programming. And, mm-hmm. you know, we just kind of made do with what we had, and, you know, the space being closed for over 16 months.
Damn, 16 months closed.
16 months. You know, and that was, yeah. There was a point where we could have reopened, but we were just so financially like,
yeah,
it's like I can't even drive there. It costs too much.
Yeah,
you know. And so it you know, we went through that point. Mm-hmm. And you know, just somehow got through it, man. I mean, I think the grants and the community support really pulled us through.
Mm-hmm.
2022, we get reached out to by a local organization called Downey Foundation for Educational Opportunities, DFEO. They manage all of the before and after school programs at Downey Unified, and asked us to become the visual arts partner. And mm-hmm. so essentially managing teachers who would specifically do visual arts programming, because obviously that's our expertise.
Yeah.
We became a partner coming into the 2022 school year, and within a month and a half hired, 9, 10 employees that we brought on. I had never hired an employee before, but you know, we
basically just, to cover the workshops and stuff, right?
Yeah, well, to cover the classes at the mm-hmm. at the school sites, and we just had to learn and adapt within a month. Yeah. And you know, thankfully, you know, we live in a time where we have technology and mm-hmm. services that allow you to do a lot with very little. And we onboarded our staff. We, you know, we put a call for employees, and we brought on part-time after-school teachers. Until this day, we employ, right now, we currently employ 10 after-school mm-hmm. arts teachers who are all primarily from Sela. You know, they're all artists. They're all working artists who have studied art, who want to become educators, and we employ them through that program. Today, now we're beginning classes and workshops at the gallery with that staff, and so that's kind of what we are starting in our new project.
No, I love the progress. You know, it's just one of those stories that you hear and you're like, damn, this place went through a struggle.
Yeah.
You know? It's easy to see things and you're like, ah, okay, it's here, you know.
But. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's a pretty space, so it looks like it's doing fine. But, I mean, definitely a lot of sacrifice in the background.
That's the crazy part, because, I mean, we see the value, but when it comes down to, like, the aspect of the space and all this stuff, then it becomes a little bit more of, like, the legal issues and how you're going to fund it and stuff. I mean, the idea is still there, like, just to bring value in terms of art and, you know, change to people's perspectives of things. But you start seeing that it gets tied down to, again, like, these political stuff. And it becomes a little harder to just provide that message without having to struggle, you know?
Yeah.
And that becomes a whole different battle.
Yeah.
But, again, from those battles, people who are through are going to keep fighting through that, they're going to prevail. And, you know, like we mentioned earlier with the creatives, no matter what those obstacles were, like, we still found ways to continue these ideas,
right?
Knock on wood that stays for a lot longer, you know.
Sure. But
I'm sure that if for whatever reason that wasn't the case, your idea will still continue in one form or another, right?
Yeah. And you know, and that's the goal. I think even though we've gone through a lot these past 3-4 years, it feels like we're just getting started. It's amazing. We have an incredible team of educators, on our side, and just a lot of projects and things that we're working on all at once. Mm-hmm. So this year is going to be really interesting. You know, we are just launching these classes and workshops for youth, teens, and kids and adults, and you know, just really excited to kind of shift how the gallery operates. Although we will probably still be doing exhibitions, classes are going to be the primary focus going mm-hmm. forward. You know, exhibitions in the region that we live in, we, you know, not necessarily an art buying base. Even for stay, that's never quite been the focus because of that. There's not necessarily a market for art buying. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, ultimately you have to contribute to creating those communities that are, you know, supportive of the arts and that believe in the power of the arts. And we believe it starts with the youth and offering, you know, classes that are affordable, that introduce kids to these concepts that's where our focus is.
Yeah. That's a perfect focus because, you know, again, just going back to my experiences growing up here in Sela, like, I didn't have inspirations. I can say, like, I can look at a wall and be like, oh, cool. You know, my walls would say XV3 or Clara Street or something, you know, like never art.
Yeah.
So it was hard for me to get into that. And, you know, graffiti at some point, I was never into the graffiti part, but my friends were, and I'll be around them when they were doing it just because I sucked, you know, not that I didn't try, guys, you know, but I didn't have the skill set for it. Mine was more on paper.
Yeah.
But, you know, you didn't have the influences, the inspirations. And then when you finally did feel inspired, you felt like I felt like I was too old. Like, where was this when I was like 15? Now I'm like 27 or whatever it was. And I'm barely finding these inspirations in these areas around me. But that's just a testament of the progress that has been done, because it wasn't available to me back then, but it's starting to become available now.
Right.
Which means that people, at least growing up in my area, have taken the initiative to start providing these spaces.
Totally. Totally.
In Bell, we have the Sela Art Center, I think, right now.
Shout out Tetris.
Yes. Yeah, shout out Tetris. So, you know, we have that going on. They're planning on the Sela Cultural Center by the Southgate area on the riverbed. That's like huge.
Yes.
Like huge in here in this area.
Yes.
You know, it's just going to amplify those voices that you guys are, you know, trying to promote as well.
Absolutely.
Trying to bring up in a bigger sense. And it brings them into, I think they're going to have like a theater, like performance art theater. Hopefully everything turns out fine, you know, because it's agreed. Something we need that.
Agreed. 100% agree. And, you know, in addition to that, too, on a state level, we have, and it's not very known, but Prop 28, it's called Prop 28. Prop 28 essentially guarantees arts programming at schools again. So that's huge. That's something that just got passed, you know, I believe last year, and mm-hmm. it's now happening.
Yeah.
And nice. Yeah, so we're, you know, that's also another thing. Art is coming back to schools. Mm-hmm. And so you have, you know, people, you know, really pushing on the arts on every level here in the state. So it's just incredible and just so inspiring to see how Cela's activating, man. It's just I love how you say that
activating, because that's really what it is. Like,
yeah,
it's like the switch got flipped. I may be biased because I'm coming out of Cela, but it just feels like there's been a movement that's been building up. Like I was at the Cela Arts Fest on the riverbed last year. I had a podcast, doing a live podcast.
Oh, cool.
Recording people. And again, that was one of my first times in Cudahy that I had the chance to get a taste of the power of the community around us. And it was beautiful, man. It was beautiful to see. And again, it's the same feeling that I get when I walked into State Gallery that evening. And I was like, dude, where have I been this whole time? You know? And so, you know, I hope other people who haven't been there get like the curiosity to check it out and just to feel themselves be influenced by the culture around us.
Appreciate that. Yeah. You know, our space is always open to anyone. We seriously like focus on making it as inviting and as welcoming as possible. You know, we acknowledge that there are generations of our people who have never experienced the arts.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what you walked into, seeing the descriptions from the artists, that is like pinpoint exactly like how we try to make it accessible. It's like there's people who have never, and you know, they kind of question like, how do I even look at art? Like how do I experience art? And just that little, you know, that little description coming straight from the artist kind of brings more context, makes it a little more accessible, and allows people to really immerse themselves in the stories. That is the local group show. That is exactly what we try to make it about. It's about accessibility. Yeah. That show is our fifth one since 2019. What we do is an open call to artists. And, you know, every year those submissions have been growing and growing. Last one that we just had, we had over 170 submissions.
Wow.
All from Cela and, you know, beyond. We do prioritize artists from Cela for that exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't exclude either from LA County. And, you know, this was our biggest show to date. And we had 68 artists in that exhibition that you witnessed. The opening reception was really cool. It was the kind of the biggest, the largest exhibition opening we had organized. Mm-hmm. We in addition to the opening in the gallery, we had organized a vendor market along the sidewalk.
Outside of the building.
Yeah. And it kind of spread into the alley that was next door. We had a food vendor and lighting and all that. Really nice.
For the opening reception?
This was for the opening. It was in October.
Yeah.
It was amazing, man. I mean, a lot of work to put together.
Yeah.
But just, you know, an incredible experience overall. So, you know, we look forward to continue to do those exhibitions.
Hey, it's cool, man. You know, out of the cities in Cela, the ones that I feel like are more like art leaning, as I've seen, is Downey. And I think that's really cool. You know, I don't know what's lacking in other cities. I'm dumb in terms of figuring out why that is. But, man, I hope they take notes. They take notes. Cudahy, you're hearing this. Man, we need more. I know we've had more murals, especially from CJ. And
there's
like Tetris has been doing some walls in Bao and stuff. But, you know, we need more of this thing. You know, it's beautiful to be able to see a mural or a painting and just identify with what's going on, with the message that they're trying to provide, you know, and like. Tetris said this perfectly in the episode that we had, like, our communities are full of just colors like gray, brown, like these boring corporate colors in a sense, you know, and there's no life to them.
Right.
And when we don't see that, it's easy for us to just be depressed in a way, you know, like we don't have this connection to anything going around us. But if we're able to connect through something visual and give ourselves the ability to interpret that message to our narrative, in a sense.
Exactly.
Like, that gives us power. It lets us take that power back.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. It's powerful. It's some powerful stuff, man.
It is. And, you know, I want to give props to, you know, the cities in Cela, even though they're, you know, we're all at different phases, right?
Yeah.
For cities, we're all at different phases in where we are in the process. Southgate is making strides. You know, they have a city-funded gallery and museum, the Southgate Museum and Gallery, I believe that's what it's called.
Oh, that's right. They do. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they have.
They've been promoting that a lot more in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and it's, you know, a fully city-funded space. And so, and they're also getting the Cela Cultural Center, which, I mean, Southgate, to me, you know, when I look at Cela as a whole, I see Southgate as they are going to be, you know, positioned to be the leader in the arts. Downey, Yeah, you know, we've had spaces. We, you know, Downey also had the first contemporary art museum in what's said to be all of Southern California. The city used to have what's called the Downey Museum of Art, located at Furman Park.
That closed.
Closed in 2009. I witnessed the closing of that. I fortunately had some opportunities to show my work there in high school. I got to paint a little mural in there when I was a kid as well. Did some chalk events with some elementary students, but that, you know, closed, and lack of, you know, city funding, even though it's a city funded space. Really interesting history, obviously, you know. That could probably be a podcast in and of itself, but you know, just interesting to learn and to learn about Cela and kind of why things are the way they are. And I think primarily when you look at history, Cela has been a pretty what's the term, like, very working class industrial cities over history, over time. Downey in particular had the aerospace industry that was, you know, holding it up. And when that was in Downey, I mean, you had engineers living there, you had a lot of like scientists, and it, of course, the arts kind of matched up with that. You had the Downey Civic Light Opera, the Downey Symphony, the Downey Museum of Art. You had a lot of historical organizations that, when that aerospace industry left the city, so did those organizations. It just, the community couldn't sustain it. And so Stay is really like picking up the pieces of that. And, you know, there's that energy and that want for the arts is always there. And so that's kind of just how Stay occurred, you know, how Stay happened.
It's crazy how these, a lot of these spaces, it, you know, after you hear their stories, it just sounds like, you know, it's very fragile. It's like a very fragile.
That's a seriously great way to put it, because it is very fragile. Art ultimately, you know, unless it's commercial, which it becomes inaccessible, it needs to be publicly funded to some degree. In order to be accessible, and cities need to carry that as a value in how they operate. That is what we believe. You know, art shouldn't just be viewed as a commercial, you know, product that you sell and make money from. It should also be viewed as, it should be viewed from the mental health perspective.
Exactly.
And how, what it does for people. And, you know, if cities, you know, value that, they fund it.
I mean, you would see also too that once you start funding these things and start seeing like the, how people are, the reception of the people in the communities, you start seeing how much better, in the sense, life can get, you know, like, you start seeing people start focusing on the creating aspect rather than just rebelling, you know, like, I'm against the system, you know, all the time. It's like, no, okay, well, you can still be against the system, but you, now you can create and express yourself. You know, so that's I don't know. That seems, you know, like an easy solution. You know?
Right. And, you know, this reminds me of actually why we named the gallery Stay Gallery. You know, at the time, our experience and my experience, I could say for a lot of the people that I grew up with no longer live in the city. I don't even live in the city. My family's still in the city. But our experience was of people leaving. And so our idea was the arts, culture, creativity, you know, all of that causes people to stay, to stay local, you know, just like the hat. And that's, that was the initial idea. And that, I, you know, we believe that's what the arts do. It, it does encourage, you know, people to stay local. It gives some, it gives people a reason to be proud of the communities that they come from. Because you have a space, or, you know, an organization that's like advocating and putting the history, you know, on display. It's putting the culture on display. It's, it's creating spaces for the community to come together, and you know, ultimately creating pride in the cities that you, that, that you're from.
And then pride, that pride is important, because, you know, I've been in that problem before, you know, where I wasn't proud of where I came from. You know, people would be like, I'll even change the city. Hey, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Downey. But no, I live in Cudahy, you know? But people know Downey. That's like the city that everybody knows. But I'll be like, nah, I'm Downey. Because I was ashamed to be like, yeah, I'm from Cudahy.
That's so funny, because that was my experience growing up in Downey. There was like a general sense of shame being from Downey. For people from Downey, like, at least in our generation, there's definitely like this sense of shame. And I think especially for Latinos growing up in Downey, there's like, you know, there is like this difference, right, in how Downey is perceived, and it can feel a little embarrassing because sometimes you don't necessarily align with all of that. You know, and it's interesting, like, you mentioned that Downey was from Cela. You know, according to some of the maps I see out there, it doesn't seem like that's the case. And it's something that I'm like, hey, we're right here too.
Because I mean, it's like kind of border, right?
It's like a border. Yeah, it is. And technically, technically it is Southeast mm-hmm. LA, but you know, there's some
yeah
folks that don't believe
they
want to
I can see it. You hear that somebody's from Bell or Cudahy here, like, oh, those are some dangerous cities. You know, we had a, you know, an unfortunate event happen a few weeks ago where they're like within the same radius of Bell, Maywood, and HP and Cudahy, yeah. like four people got shot.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's, you know, it hasn't happened as much. You know, I've been in Cudahy since 98. You know, I've seen the changes in the demographics and, you know, the gangs and all this stuff, the gang activity. Now you can walk outside with your dogs and totally. Stuff, you know, so totally. It's, you know, air quotes safer. But then you hear something like this happen and you're like, damn, we're kind of back at square one.
You know? That happens anywhere, man.
Yeah. I mean,
Downey just had a shooting recently, like a block away from the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's, I just don't think it's reflective of the cities themselves.
Exactly.
But just, you know,
but situations. You know, but to an outsider, they're like, oh yeah, we're not gonna go totally. Out there. You know, and that's totally. When it's like, no,
it's bad
you know?
PR.
You know, and so that's why it's up to us to be able to create the culture around us. You know, create our own narratives, and right. then, you know, again, become prideful of where we're coming from.
Exactly.
Nowadays, you know, I've been seeing like this progress in Sella. I'll be like, yeah, I'm from Cudahy. I'm from Southeast LA.
That's right.
You know, now I carry myself with a different type of weight, but it only came from. First of all, me rejecting it and then embracing it and saying, you know what, this is where I come from.
Right.
Like, there's no reason why I should be ashamed or why I shouldn't be like open to learning about where it is.
Right.
This space is, you know.
And it's because you see artists, you see culture, you see things happening with that name stamped on it. Right. I mean, it's incredible, man, how arts and culture has through history, throughout even our ancestors.
Yeah.
The arts have always been how we communicate, you know.
Yes.
It's what we look to when we look at ancient civilizations. It's their art. it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's
there
amazing.
there was like four pieces of art that I vividly remember at State Gallery from that yeah. event. There was one that was describing like a Nahuatl wedding.
Yeah.
Beautiful portrayal of that of just what he was going for, and the caption was just like fucking cherry on the top. There was the one from Ernesto Evil Illustrations or something. He was like a, what was a painting about? A frutero.
Yes.
And just how we're saying like how we connect, how our connections to our past are so thin, but somehow we're having like this fucking difficult time breaking through to the connection. Who was it? Was it Alejandro Vicencio? And there was like a picture that he drew of the church where I got fucking my first communion.
I saw your post
about I'm walking that. Up and I'm just like, that church looks familiar.
Yeah.
That church, for context, is no longer there. It got replaced by this mega church now. Yeah. But I'm still like, damn, what the hell? I would never imagine like this thing meant something to someone else.
Right.
And I was like, I love this place. You
know? That's awesome.
Fucking cool, man. It was a cool.
I'm glad you enjoyed that. And you know, we are going to have some classes, so I hope to see you at some.
Yeah. Hey, no, I'm for sure. And you know, the goal here is too, just to be able to bring people's attention to places like this. You know, again, it's like when we don't have a space, we're going to find means of creating ways of expressing ourselves.
Exactly.
And that means that we also have to be open to supporting people we don't know sometimes, you know?
Exactly.
And like, that's recently, I think, with me, like, I've been trying to be more proactive and just being there, showing support in these things, even if I don't know anybody. Like, there's a message that's being conveyed to a greater whole, and I want to be part of that, you know. Like, I want to be involved, or at least get people curious enough to be like, let me learn more about this stuff.
That's good. That is good. And you know, seriously, kudos to you for this podcast. You've done seriously an amazing job. I mean, thanks. Everything from your visuals to your how you organize everything. I mean, seriously, good job.
Thank you, man.
We're rooting for you.
I do want to just get just your perception of what you think State will need to continue getting that support. Like, what do you think from your personal experience?
You know, well, as we come into this year, like I mentioned a little while ago, we are pivoting from focusing primarily on exhibitions to mm-hmm. a more arts education focus. We are introducing classes and workshops at the gallery that will be regularly happening for kids, teens, mm-hmm. and adults. It's a really exciting endeavor for us. You know, we've had about a year and a half now to work with our staff through the after school programs that we run, you know, on site at elementary. We're at 17 schools total currently.
What? For reals?
Yeah. We're at 17 schools, all of the elementaries in Downey, which is 13,
yeah.
and then four middle schools. And that program is only growing.
Yeah.
But now with that experience that we're bringing, you know, in arts education, we're now, again, just bringing that into the gallery, making it accessible to anyone and everyone. You know, and hopefully we're going to try to roll out some scholarships, some financial aid in the near future. We are working on all of that. And because the gallery is now primarily an education space, the exhibitions, you know, they're not going to stop. And there's new spaces and new places that we will be popping up at, whether temporary or additional, we're not quite sure, but there are some plans in the works right now. And so we're super, super excited for this year. And I just hope that people enjoy our offerings and that we can keep making it more accessible, more low cost, and just try to inspire as many minds as possible.
Yeah. That's the keyword right there. Inspire,
inspire creativity,
you know, and just that curiosity, you know. Before we end this, the last episode, and I've mentioned this before, I don't know if you know who Chencha Barrinches is, like the ska band.
I'm not familiar. Okay. Oh, ska.
Yeah, they're from Southgate.
Okay.
So they've been playing for like fucking 20 years at this point.
Yeah.
But I went to one of their shows recently, and they brought up the band from, or La Banda. What the fuck? What am I saying here? The marching band from HB High.
Oh, amazing.
They brought them onto stage in the House of Blues. And
amazing.
To me, the message I got there from all that was just the ability to inspire. Like, you're inspiring people for their creative, you know, abilities.
Yeah.
They're musically inclined, so they're still inspiring that spark in people, that imagination, that amazing curiosity. And we need more of that.
Totally. You know,
we need more
totally
people like that. We need more opportunities to give to the youth so they can come up, you know? Because I wish I had those opportunities.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
But if I'm able to manage what I have now with what I got, you know, imagine the possibilities you have if you have these resources available to you.
Exactly. So. And, you know, that's the position we want to find ourselves in when it comes to State Arts as the nonprofit. We want to be able to provide those resources.
Yeah.
And we're getting there.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Gabriel, thank you for making the time. And for sure, this is not going to be the last conversation we have. We'll keep in touch. And do you have any scheduled events coming up or anything that you want to...
Events, not really. If you go on our... it's the classes and workshops that is like our primary focus. And so that's what we're doing. We're enrolling right now for the spring season, and look forward to see you there.
Sweet, man. And then for people to find out more information on that, is Instagram the best way, or
Instagram, our website, staygallery.org. We have our newsletter. We send out one email a month. So
hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much for taking the time, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you.
Peace out, everybody.
Peace.
pleasure.